Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of the early line is live on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside here with you. So one more hour to go before we pass it over to the morning after with Ben Stevens here as we set up Thursday night football. First time in a long time we've had some Thursday night football. This brought to us by the XFL. Let me start here, Donnie, before we get to the game tonight between Seattle and St. Louis. This is good. I know the 9 p.m. start time leads to a major eye roll from you. I think it's a totally fair one as well. I don't think it matters that the game is in Seattle. You got to get, you know, your football on prime time. If you're trying to take advantage of the markets that the NFL is leaving behind during their offseason, then take advantage of it. Play your games when they would play their games, at least on a weekday. This should be an 8 o'clock kick, if not a 7:30 kick, quite frankly. But the fact that this is a Thursday game here, I think this is the first time in, I don't know, ever maybe, the early lines brought some XFL to the show. It's a good start.
How about this? And also, what a better way to start than have the Sea Dragons at 0-1 at home in a must-win situation here against the Battle Hawks. But also, who do you want to go into battle with against the Battle Hawks? You know it's going to be that. It's Ben DiNucci here, superstar athlete from the Dallas Cowboys, who is now the quarterback for the Sea Dragons. And also, if we're taking a look here at who he can throw the football to, it's one Josh Gordon. Superstars all over the map here tonight for the Sea Dragons as they are favored by 4 points in this one with a total of 36.5. Cold temperatures up there in the Northwest, right around freezing at kickoff. Is that going to be enough for Ben DiNucci and the boys to get it done here, K-Dub?
So, look, Ben DiNucci is, of course, going to bring out some tremendous banter. The fact that you actually own a Ben DiNucci jersey is still truly one of the most incredible things. I guess that locks you in as a Seattle fan, by the way, right? You kind of have to stick with your guy there. To me, the one thing is, Ben DiNucci is also probably the most famous quarterback in this league. That shouldn't be the case. I know not every time we talk XFL, it needs to be a massive referendum on the league. I have to be higher on it than Donnie because every single time they play, Donnie thinks they're going to shut the league down in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, and by the way, this league will be talked about all day throughout the show. And I know the fellas over on GTD will set you up with plenty of picks here. But I just attempting to set the stage a little bit, Donnie, with the XFL. We know that football is a quarterback sport. There has to be a way that the XFL can encroach on the quarterback market more than they have. Whether that is guys that are third stringers in the NFL that think it'll be valuable to get some work in here during an offseason because, well, they've really not actually played football at all. You know, whatever it might be, that to me is still going to be the driving force in helping this league out, is having Ben DiNucci not be the star of the show on the field.
To have like a partnership, right, along with the NFL. Now, granted, like linebackers that are third string, they're not going to play in the XFL or the USFL because you can't take that many hits and play football year-round, particularly tackle football. But it's a good point you bring up. The NFL is in its offseason. Like, why isn't Sam Howell playing for the DC Defenders? Well, he's trying to fight for the starting job of the Commanders. I get it. But quarterbacks don't really get injured by playing in the pocket all that much. And if I'm a third, you know, string talent, I would just like to get the reps out here.
And I know, Sam Howell's a
like actually competing for the Washington job. Quite frankly, I think if he was on the D.C. Defenders, though, not many of us would bat an eye, as our radio audience is here again on a Thursday morning, the early line, Sirius XM, Channel 159. The other thing that catches the attention, though, Donnie, these totals, 36.5, 36.5, 38.5, 39.5. And you know, again, we're trying to get adjusted to, but I wonder what makes the XFL, you know, positioned as such a lower scoring league compared to the NFL and certainly compared to college football.
I guess it just would be skill positions where you would say, like, okay, it might be a shortened season, so the defenses are ahead of the offenses, and rightfully so. We wouldn't see that on a full game slate in the NFL where nobody is higher than 40 points on a total. And if you want to bring in the audiences here, if you want the gambling audience, if you want even the possibility of a DFS here for the XFL, you need to get good quarterback play, which in turn would give you more scoring. We're looking at the quarterbacks here where, again, we joke, Ben DiNucci is the superstar. Again, it's Ben DiNucci that we're talking about here leading the pack.
Oh, boy. A little choke up there for me. How we doing? We're making it happen. Ben DiNucci, a lot of people are excited there. Shout out to Josh. Is Josh Gordon going to get a job back in the NFL, Donnie, by the way, on the heels of catching touchdowns in the XFL? No, we're not going to do the Josh Gordon thing again?
If Andy Reid couldn't find a part-time job for you in the NFL, there's probably a good chance you're not going to get a job in the NFL at this point.
Fair enough. I'm also curious, at any point, does the XFL get to a space where people are dabbling in player props? Because what we do know of these, of really everything, the more options, the better. The more that people can wager on, the better. You know, we talked about it the other day on the radio side of things, right? Just college basketball now. You know, we're full blast player props, all littered throughout, you know, the FanDuel Sportsbook there. Tremendous options, and you can parlay these options as well. I know the XFL is not college basketball, but are we going to get to a point where those are the kind of numbers that people can start to bet in? We'll see. We'll check in with tonight's game. No doubt we go, though, to the NFL with some quarterback questions coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on the grid. Taking a look now at some of the NFL headlines coming out yesterday. House cleaning a little bit for the Tennessee Titans. They move on from Taylor Lewan. Robert Woods missed a couple of other veterans, but I thought Robert Woods and his exit was a little interesting. Tweets out free with an exclamation point there. Again, maybe excited to be a free agent, but I think it sends the message, Donnie, where Robert Woods says, hey, don't look at me. That wasn't my fault. I still got plenty I can bring to a team. That was Tennessee's fault. That was a broken offense's fault. And it begs the question what in the world the Tennessee Titans are going to be doing here this offseason. This is a team that we've talked about being linked to a number of quarterbacks. They were someone that was tossed around in the Tom Brady race. They were momentarily brought up with Aaron Rodgers, I felt. Donna, you mentioned yesterday you thought Lamar Jackson could be a fit. Why I find this all a bit interesting, though, is this is a team that has two options on their roster currently in Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. That if I would have told you heading into this past season, hey, their opening day starter next year is going to be Tannehill, you'd say, wow, all right, he probably played pretty well. I could see how that would work out. And if I told you it was going to be Malik Willis, you'd be like, oh, wow, that's a good sign. Definitely so. Somehow, this Titans team with still both of them on the roster, we don't often link them actually going with either of those two guys heading into the next season.
And how do you play it out as a Tennessee Titans fan at this point? Hey, we're going to bring back Tannehill. Awesome. How's that worked out? Or, boy, did you see our wide receiver? Thank goodness Woods is gone. He did nothing because I can't wait for Burks, Westbrook Ikhine, and Kyle Phillips to go off next year. You're looking at a rebuild here coming for Tennessee. Now, granted, sometimes you get a new GM. He's going to want his guys in there. You clear out some of the old space, which they are doing. But if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have much of a chance. And we're talking about a division where if you do get a competent quarterback, you're going to be in the conversation to win the AFC South. But if you're going to come back with Ryan Tannehill and say, well, new offensive coordinator, new look out here, no wide receivers, but we'll make some slight adjustments in the draft, that's not going to work for me at this point. Either go in and make a splash at quarterback and give yourself a legit chance, or you come back with Dobbs, Willis, and Tannehill and have no shot next year to compete in the AFC South.
Okay, but here's my thing with Malik Willis. Apparently, Sam Howell is going to get a chance. We're going to talk about Kyle Trask in a moment. He might get a chance. If Desmond Ridder doesn't get a chance, it's because Atlanta swung for the fences and got Lamar Jackson in the building. Otherwise, he's going to get a chance. Nobody was harder on Malik Willis than us here on this show. It was disgraceful. Josh Dobbs rightfully took the job from him. But are we sure that Malik Willis, Donnie, doesn't deserve a chance? A season? Are the Titans really on a timeline where they need to be moving things around? Again, if a Lamar Jackson, an Aaron Rodgers, a Derek Carr, I understand you change your plans for guys like that. But the world with the Tennessee Titans next year run out Sam Darnold? Ugh. A world with the Tennessee Titans next year go for Jimmy Garoppolo? Stop. I heard someone the other day mention I could see Tennessee being interested in Daniel Jones. I can't see that. Let's end that right there. Donnie, is it really that ridiculous, the notion that Malik Willis deserves a chance to be Tennessee's opening starter next year?
I mean, we're heading into Jameis Winston territory here shortly for Malik Willis going, now, hold on. I'm watching this team play. They stink. You're telling me this guy's healthy and he can't get out there and do anything on the field? Like, that's the feeling I get. And when is the last time an NFL team's like, hey, we told you, we're going to draft Malik Willis. He needs 5 years of sitting behind a quarterback for him to actually understand the NFL game. And you're right. This is one of those years where you go, okay, new GM in here. He wants to figure out what's happening. You know, Vrabel's going to be here a long time. We have to start the rebuild now. Let's just at least give Malik Willis a chance. Two things are going to happen. Hey, he's our franchise guy. Or, my goodness, he was so bad. I don't know. We got the number one overall pick, and now we can get our quarterback. Doesn't it feel that way? Because unless you're going out and you're saying to yourself, I'm clearing cap space. Carthon, the new GM's coming in. He loves Lamar. We're going to give up a ton of draft picks to go out and get Lamar. We're going to rebuild. We're going to have a successful season and see if we can put it together, make a run into the playoffs. And who knows? Maybe in the future here with Lamar Jackson, we can do some damage. Or it feels like you're blowing it up this season. So why not let the young quarterback sink or swim? If he swims, fantastic. If he sinks, even better. We'll get a top draft pick.
Yeah, I think Malik Willis being their starter should be something we are okay with, expecting a little bit more. Here's an option, though, I'm not okay with, and I'm not expecting. And that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into next season with Kyle Trask as their starting quarterback. I understand that the Tom Brady retirement leaves them scrambling a touch, trying to figure out what their best plan of attack is. I understand Kyle Trask was drafted in 2021, so he's, you know, kind of been maybe with the organization for a little bit. Was a second-round draft choice, 64th overall pick. I understand Kyle Trask put up some nice numbers while he was at Florida. However, Kyle Trask was not ever this team's backup quarterback. That was Blaine Gabbert. He's thrown 9 passes in his NFL career. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a roster filled with veterans that expect to win. And a coach that's on the hot seat, by the way, in Todd Bowles, that will be fired if they do not go out there and make the playoffs and maybe beyond that. Now, I'm just overreacting to an offensive coordinator saying some complimentary things of the quarterbacks that's in the room. But considering, Donnie, that we already know that, or seem to know that Sam Howell's going to be the guy in Washington, and it's just loony season in the NFL, maybe Kyle Trask is really going to be the guy in Tampa Bay, which begs the question, what are we doing?
I don't know what they're doing, to be honest with you. And sometimes this happens in the NFL where you get caught in between, where you say to yourself, well, if we go out and get a quarterback, we could probably compete and win this division. But what's the health of this franchise? Are you taking a step back to say, well, you know what? The draft's coming up. I know a lot of teams that are making phone calls to us from Mike Evans and Godwin. Now's the perfect time to get draft capital, rebuild this team, find our quarterback, and reload. Or do you say, no. We got some talent on defense here. We got some talent on offense. If quarterback was the issue last year with Tom Brady, let's go a little bit younger, more athletic here, but give us a legitimate chance. And also, you're not fighting with another team in your division that looks like they're going to be a 13-win team right out of the gate. If you secure a quarterback, you might be the favorite to actually win that division next year. So it is interesting that we're not hearing a lot from Tampa Bay outside of, boy, we'd love to give Kyle Trask a look here for the 2023 NFL season. And are we just throwing this out? Forget about Kyle Trask. I mean, does everybody forget about Blaine Gabbert? Still on that roster there. Could do a fine job there leading that team into the playoffs. The Buccaneers should be one of those teams making noise and in the mix going, we're making phone calls here about Aaron Rodgers. We're making phone calls here about Lamar Jackson. And Derek Carr, we have him in here for a visit. We have quarterbacks lined up in this draft, or if we have draft capital, we can go after them. It's interesting to me, if they go in with Kyle Trask, they're going to go in with not Mike Evans and probably not Chris Godwin either.
And I don't think the timeline for all of that works out. Like, they probably need to be a bit more competitive than all of those things suggest. And here's the thing I'll say. You should say good things about the quarterbacks that are in the room, and which is probably why we were always a bit hard on Trey Lance, because it felt like they couldn't get anybody to say good word about Trey Lance out there in San Fran. But nevertheless, he seems like he'll be their guy. We talk so much about all these other jobs that are out there. Win now. That is what Tampa Bay should be, right? Like, why do we not hear about, how are the Saints who haven't had cap space in 6 years in the Derek Carr race, but the Bucs aren't? Explain that to me. These are the kind of things that have just baffled me as we get set for an interesting NFL offseason. There's a lot of college basketball to get into today, and DRS has promised some tang inside this breakdown here. You keep it locked and loaded. It's the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College basketball set to deliver another fun slate of games. I guess we should quickly bring up, Donnie, yesterday's Alabama-South Carolina game, though. Again, it's not the easiest thing to dissect here. They win 78-76 in overtime against a really bad South Carolina team. They were a 17-point favorite in the basketball game. A tough, tough blow for those that did back the under here, as overtime is what burns you. Brandon Miller, who was the subject of boos throughout this game, and understandably so, as he's now linked to a murder, which took place a couple of months back, went out there and scored a career high with 41 points. It's an odd one to dissect, to try and think about Alabama moving forward, as every indication is Brandon Miller isn't going anywhere. They had themselves Brandon Miller's best game, so I guess he's going to be fine moving forward, but the rest of the team was pretty bad. And you wonder if they were thrown off platform by, again, all of the stuff surrounding this basketball team. Nate Oates and this group is going to be a really interesting one to follow, and it's unavoidable. They're the number two team in college basketball, and some people think the number one overall seed when we get there. This is not going to be some story that goes away.
And it's not going to be one, and it's also interesting that you drop that many points. Keep in mind, too, they were a 17.5-point favorite on the road in conference play, which is something you don't see all that much outside of like a Gonzaga out there in the West Coast Conference. He did play extremely well. The rest of the team didn't. They're going to continue, Kevin, to answer questions every single day. Now, maybe the team itself, where you don't have them in front of the media, but Nate Oates has to be in front of the media before games, after games, during the week, talking to beat writers. He's going to have to answer for this. Now, the one thing is legalities, right? And I say this all the time. We're not lawyers, but you're looking at one of the best college basketball players in the country. This scenario would be completely different if this was the 13th guy off the bench who was a walk-on. I doubt he would be in the mix right now to even get in basketball games or be around the team for distractions. But when you're looking to be a lottery pick in the NBA with the number one team in college basketball, he's going to continue to play. And it certainly didn't affect him. Any questions swirling around, the rumors, answering things, and also going into a hostile environment where you know the other team's fans will get after you, to have 40 points was incredible to see that performance here. I don't know what the future holds for Alabama. I don't know if the national spotlight here on them gets even bigger and brighter and they have to step away and say, okay, you know, you're going to be away from the team for 2 weeks. Let's sort this out. Or maybe it's already been sorted out and Alabama goes, we'll just take the bad press and see if we can roll it into a national championship.
And that's probably going to be the case. I mean, look, a lot of people were saying it yesterday, and Brandon Miller wasn't as good as he is. He's probably off the team. Yeah, probably so, right? Instead, you kind of saw, you know, you see last night the 4-1 points. And I'm not justifying it, by the way. I'm just, it's what everybody's been saying about the situation there. We'll continue to follow that with any updates and certainly give them to you here on the network. To get to tonight's action, a good battle between a couple of teams from Illinois there as the Illini take on Northwestern. The Wildcats are red hot. They've got themselves the second best overall record, actually, in the Big Ten, a game and a half back of Purdue, just one back in the loss column. But tonight could be a bit trickier because they're on the road. And they're a 5.5-point underdog despite being the ranked team in this matchup. Total for this one, 136.5. Where's the value in this game?
Yeah, my eyes tilt toward Northwestern, as you said, but we know in college basketball, buyer beware on anybody going on the road. But you sort of try to simplify the process and say, well, what's a normal home team? Well, you see Illinois 9-7 in Big Ten Conference play, 13-2 at home, which is what most decent basketball teams on that upper echelon, should I say Power Five conferences, do. But if you're looking at Northwestern, Kevin, going on the road for them, they're actually 11-5 in Big Ten play. But how about this? 6-2 overall on the road, including, as you said, a hot basketball club here. Five straight winners here in conference play. This game just might come down to free throw shooting. Northwestern in conference play, number one at getting to the free throw line, and they shoot 75% as a team. Illinois, how about this? Number three at getting to the line, but only shoot 68% as a team. Now, the line coming up here at, 5.5 points, you're probably expecting Northwestern. You're not going to say, well, I don't know if they can win the game, but I think they can cover. You better be right that you think they can win this basketball game. That's why you have to bet it, because why is that? Typically in a close game at the end, if you're only down 2 points, there's a really good chance that if you don't make a shot, you might be down 7 or 8 points in the next 30 seconds because you have to foul. So I look at this game, lean towards Northwestern at the 5.5, but don't we know better taking road teams here? Even if they're playing well like Northwestern is, it just seems like the outcome always lends itself to a victor by the home team.
I'll mention with Northwestern, there's not an ATS measure where they don't seem to be the tops in this conference. 11-5 overall in Big Ten games, 6-2 as a road team. It's one of those spots where, yeah, maybe they don't win this game, Don, but maybe they can keep this tight enough. Lower total, maybe the 5.5 points is too many here. It does look like a good spot for Illinois, as we know, but there's a world that this isn't an Illini win, but actually turns around as a Northwestern cover. To get over to the West Coast, then, Utah and UCLA. UCLA also on the road tonight, but still favored in their basketball game as a 7-point line here against the Utes. Total much, kind of lower, not much lower than the last game, but still lower at 131.5. UCLA, Utah, Pac-12 action.
Yeah, two good defenses coming in here. So I do lean towards that one under 131.5. Also, you're playing in elevation. But this is a game that we just talked about here in the Big Ten, Kevin. Very rare in college basketball. UCLA, phenomenal basketball club in Pac-12 conference play, 14-2 overall. But how about this, Kevin? Just talked about Northwestern, 6-2. UCLA going on the road, 7-2. Slower tempo team. If we take a look at Utah, good at home, 12-3 overall in conference play, 10-7. They are a slow tempo team. But if if we're taking a look at Utah's defense, effective field goal percentage for the defense in conference play, it's number one overall. And why is that? They defend the three-point shot extremely well, and they don't foul, which is usually a key here. But if you're looking at UCLA, they really don't lean on, Kevin, the three-point shot as the way they like to score. Their point distribution, number two in conference play from inside the arc. But if we're looking at UCLA from a defensive footprint here, number one overall in conference play in efficiency, number one at forcing turnovers for you, and again, defending the three-point line and also inside the arc. If I'm looking for a direction in this game, do I want to say UCLA is the better team and should win? Sure I do, because they are the better team and they should win, but they are on the road, two slower tempo teams. I think we might stay under that 131.5 here.
Just to note, this is only the second time we've seen the Utes as a home underdog. The first time, if you remember, a thrashing of Arizona in Utah. So we'll see if they can replicate here tonight. Gonzaga's a huge favorite in WCC action, as you would anticipate. They're going to lay 23 points in this game. And look at this total. 164.5. Gonzaga with massive expectations here. Maybe they can touch the century mark. If you look at their last four games, four-game winning streak, 99, 88, 108, 97. More points for the Zags coming, DRS?
We're going to get tempo in this game here, Kevin. And so many times we take a look at just how teams play in conference with Gonzaga is a dominant offensive team. But if you just take away the conference, they're the number one overall most efficient team altogether in college basketball. You're going to get tempo out of both sides. And also, what doesn't make sense? Gonzaga doesn't turn the basketball over. Shoot the three-point shot elite. Inside the arc, number one in conference play, close to 60%. There's 10 teams, Kevin, in Western Conference play here in the WCC. How about this? 10th in effective field goal percentage on defense for San Diego, 9th in defending the three-point shot, 10th, Kevin, at defending inside the arc. That's a high total that they'll probably get there, but here's the caveat that you have to look down, get the binoculars out. It's not so much about San Diego and Gonzaga. Do you know who's on deck here for Gonzaga? You guessed it, St. Mary's. So it's one of those games where you see them favored by 22.5. Should they win by 30? Probably so, but is this a game where the kids go, hey, look, let's win, let's get in and get out, and handle our business against St. Mary's here to see if we could take down another WCC championship. So something maybe outside the lines, I like to say, that would factor into your handicap on this one.
It's interesting because, again, sometimes you don't hear that as much in college basketball. It's a huge part of college football, right, Donnie? The look-ahead spot, huge, huge part. You don't hear it in college basketball. It's a great point by you. I'll say quickly, though, with San Diego, their over percentage, there are only four teams in college basketball that have played more overs than San Diego. Over 73% of their games have gone to the over this season. That 164.5, 165.5 is there for a reason. Maybe you attack first half, though, Donnie. Maybe that's the way to get after it there. I don't want to burn through the two that you have left, so I'm not going to burn through them. I'm going to ask you this quickly then on Gonzaga. Yeah. As you mentioned, the game with St. Mary's is still remaining. And I mean, I have no idea why are they playing Chicago State on March 1st? I mean, what is that? What are they going to lay, Donnie? 50 in that game?
Yeah. It's one of those you get ramped up for the WCC tournament here. Sharpen the knives here. Get the boys on the bench involved.
Did they consult with Nick Saban on how to fill out the back end of a schedule or something? Yes. Like, what in the world is that? But although Chicago State, I think, is a little better this year than they had been in years past. Usually you could find them in like the bottom three teams on KenPom there. That's just an odd game. But I really am fascinated to see how Gonzaga finishes out here. Have we seen the last Gonzaga loss, that OT lost at St. Mary's, until we get to the tournament? Can they run through them in their own building? Can they run through the WCC tournament there and up their seeding throughout? That is going to be really, really interesting to follow here with the Bulldogs, but a potential look-ahead spot on the line. Two DRS specials and an NBA breakdown. It's all coming up right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
mask.
Hostile.
Videos behind this. I mean, wow. All right. Here's the deal, folks.
Looks like a company basketball.
Usually we just try and power through, but, I mean, there's a video. Joe Lisi's throwing it up on a timeline here. I mean, people are just fighting for sport, but in a way different way. I've never seen anything so spectacular.
I think I see Lisi.
You know what? He might just be. Someone told him that the Arkansas Razorbacks were overrated, and he got in there and threw a couple of haymakers, man. Yep. So shout out to Go for the Two. Look, we got two DRS specials tonight. It starts with North Texas and Charlotte. I don't like to add any context because I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, you don't want
you
to.
Take it away. What's the situation here in this game?
It's one that doesn't make all that much sense to me on a side, but I needed to bring this up just for the actual total itself. Let's do a little background here. It's North Texas versus Charlotte, as you're going to start to see that graphic come across your screen. North Texas is a good basketball team. They're favored by 2.5 points. I probably think they should be favored
by more.
What
is that number?
But look at that total. Look at that total on the right side of your screen, people. And if you're listening on the radio, it's 110.5. That's not a team total.
No.
That's the total for the game tonight. And you know the reason why, Kevin? If you look across the college basketball landscape, there's 363 teams. By the grace of God, Halley's Comet passing by, or a lunar, solar, whatever eclipse. It's 363 versus 362 tonight in tempo. I mean, this might be the basement brigade has to come out, has to reform like Voltron to watch this game tonight. Because if you're looking, North Texas is really good, Kevin. 14-3 in conference play, 9-2 on the road. They've won 8 games in a row. They're barely a favorite in this game. And the only thing I can think of is each team is going to get one possession per half. So you better make it count at this point. Kevin. Both of these teams approach 50. I got this. This is amazing here. These two teams have 48-48 with 4 minutes to go. Whoa! Sign me up for an over. So forget about the handicap itself. I need your input on this. 110.5. If you go under and the game is like 24-23 at the break, like, oh my God, they're on pace for it here. It's amazing how low you have to go to not hit a 110.5.
So this will be their second meeting. The first one, 67 to 43. For those that can add that up, this game landed at exactly 110. The total going into that matchup was 109.5. Here's the tremendous thing, Donnie. The first half's final score was 40-25. You had 65 points on the board, which translates to I'm home free. I'm actually not even going to get to sweat this out. What an over. 27-18 was your second half score. 110 is the number. But Don, when you look at things this slow, right? Because usually it's all about numbers, and you sometimes then don't have to worry too much about what the actual posted is. Because, Don, if I didn't tell you what the total was, right? You'd be like, hey, look, this is an under tonight, two slowest teams.
Yeah.
But you see 110, what do you do with the numbers? What do you do?
It's interesting because for me, North Texas is a much better team. Like, they should win this game, but then we factor in like, oh, yeah, it doesn't. You could come in undefeated like you're the 72 Dolphins in college basketball this year and get smoked by a team that hasn't even won yet on their own court. That's really what happens. But also, you take a look too, Kevin. It's 110.5. It's how many opportunities that you get. What if I told you North Texas was extremely slow, but the number one most efficient team in conference play? Number one at shooting the three-point shot, Kevin, at 39%. Number one inside the arc at 53%. They shoot 76% from the free throw line as a team. So you look at that and say, it doesn't even make sense, but understand this. When you watch a game, like we'll even take it back to like Ivy League play with the Princeton offense, right? We're going to run the shot clock down to one and hope we get a wide open look. And if that misses, we're going to do it again when we come down court. It's almost like watching a basketball game where you get a rebound and most teams kick it out to the point guard, at least jog up the floor. Did both of these teams just walk up the court here and waste 10 seconds off of that shot clock immediately? Is it a 2-on-1 fast break and we pull it out and set up our offense? It's very rare to see the two slowest teams in the nation square up, but that's what you get out of a 110. And also, you would expect to, Kevin, right? North Texas is terrible on offense. Charlotte's terrible on offense. That's not even the case here. They're both very good on offense, but how many opportunities do you actually get?
And then, because you're a man of banter, here's the other game Donnie wants to talk about. Santa Clara Pepperdine.
Yes.
The total is 50 points higher than the game just talked about. Rip through this one, Donnie, so we can get over to the NBA.
Yeah, quickly. You should be able to roll here for Santa Clara. Favored by double digits, 10.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Pepperdine is 2-12 in conference play, but here's my favorite part, right? 0-11 on the road. You take a look at Santa Clara, 13-4. Both of these teams, ultra fast, ton of tempo, the opposite of North Texas and Charlotte. And also here, Pepperdine averaging on the road. Forget about their offense, Kevin. They give up an average of 88 points a game when they're on the road. Say something about defense doesn't travel as opposed to defense does travel here. I think Santa Clara is going to put up a ton of points tonight.
All right, let's keep it moving then over to the NBA. The big game tonight will be the late one, the Lakers and the Warriors, as the Lakers look to start their march towards the playoffs. They're a 5.5-point home favorite against the Golden State Warriors. Big-time total here checks in at 238. When was the last time we saw the Lakers play a team that you thought had some juice to it and lay 5.5? Shows the absence of Steph Curry, but also highlights the fact that the Los Angeles Lakers roster is going to be viewed, I think, more favorably by these sports books here. The Warriors have played an outrageous amount of overs, Donnie, when they are on the road, and even as a road underdog. But I look at this number and I think to myself, we could be in for an under. Maybe I'm focusing in too much on what we saw from the Lakers in their game against the Pelicans, but two of these three new-look Laker games have seen them hold their opponent under 103. That they held the Warriors 103 and the Pels to 102. I think 238 could be too tough. The Lakers were at their best a couple of years back when they were good on the defensive side of the rock. I like under 238 in Lakers-Warriors.
I think it makes some sense, too, because you're also coming off of the All-Star break. Look, these guys are professional athletes. You want to act like that. They take it seriously here, and they're in shape. But this is a time where you can get away from the game for a couple days and out of your normal routine. How does that affect jump shooting? You're probably more likely to get an under than an over, particularly at 238.5. But how many times have we said this, too? Golden State Warriors entering into a game. The Lakers have a much better roster available tonight overall. Anticipated starting lineups, Russell, Beasley, James, Vanderbilt, and Davis. But if you look at Golden State, Poole, Thompson, DiVincenzo, Green and Looney, but also remember this. If you're looking at this game like the Lakers have a must win, which it feels like they do, the Golden State Warriors have must wins also all the way down the stretch here. They can't afford to come out of the break and lose two of three games, and then they're not in the playoffs. So you can't really play that angle, but the Lakers look like a better team in this one. They do.
They certainly do. Big game here tonight between the Cavs and the Nuggets. Went over a lot of these win totals here. I think Cleveland's due for an over. I think Denver's due for an under. And that would be off to a nice start here if the Cavs can protect their home floor as a 2.5-point home favorite. Total for this one is 223.5. I know you flirted with Donovan Mitchell props there heading into the break. Maybe look for him to stay hot coming out of it.
Yeah, most likely, yes. And that's the way you would look because it seems like he got out of that funk that he was in about 2 to 3 weeks ago. Also keep in mind, we know the Denver Nuggets, Kevin, are a very good home team, equally as good at home. Are the Cleveland Cavaliers one of the best in the Eastern Conference? I think they'll be able to hold serve, but this is one of those rosters, Kevin, for the Denver Nuggets that I haven't seen in a couple weeks now. Again, we are anticipated to have Jamal Murray back in the lineup. We'll see if he does play, but there's no sign, it looks like, in the estimated starting lineup here for Gordon, which he had that rib injury. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Looks like he might need more time. I'll go with the Cavs tonight. I think the Cavs get it done.
Yeah, I tend to agree here. It's part of the reason with the way these team totals work out. At 25-6 at home, the Nuggets are 14-14 on the road. In the grand scheme of it here, the location, I think, just matters too much. We've got the 76ers and the Grizzlies in action tonight. Philadelphia checks in as your favorite in this basketball game, but not a big number. Just 3.5 here. Total for this one, 229 and a hook. Joel Embiid back out looking to see maybe can he hunt down Nikola Jokic in this MVP race. His points prop for tonight, big time, 32.5. Where's the value in this game?
Yeah, we talk about those road-home splits here. Look at the Memphis Grizzlies. Unbelievable at home, Kevin, but 11-17 on the road. The Philadelphia 76ers, 23-8 at home. It's a short line here. Both of these teams rested and ready. I'll give the nod to the home team here for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Look, the angle to me that I really want to try and figure out right now is Joel Embiid. I went to an Embiid points prop against Cleveland, narrowly missed out on a 30.5 as he had scored 29. But it was the first time in a long time, since December,
that we saw Embiid miss 30-plus in back-to-back nights. Now, 30's not going to get the job done tonight. It's 32.5. But he's also going up against the Memphis Grizzlies team that is the favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year in Jaren Jackson Jr. Embiid saw this team earlier in the season. He scored 35 points in the game, and Jaren Jackson Jr. played. Embiid, though, was out there without James Harden, without Tyrese Maxey, so the workload was massive. You know, you didn't get your wildly efficient Joel Embiid game there. He was just a flat 50% from the field. Could some Joel Embiid unders start to check in here again? Are these numbers maybe a little too elevated? We've talked about too, Donnie, just first game off the break. Maybe some caution here, something to keep an eye on. The Mavericks duo is in action tonight. They are huge, huge favorites. 14. These are some of the numbers you're going to see start to check in over the second half of the season with teams that need wins and teams that don't. And the Spurs don't want to win, and the Mavericks, well, they're still waiting for their first one with the Kyrie-Luka duo here, Donnie. But is 14 too many points?
It might be too many points, but remember Pop before the All-Star break? Boy, we lose every game. I hope these guys take this break and think how serious they need to be for the final 20. No, they're already done and cooked and buried for the Spurs. It almost feels like a referendum game here for the Dallas Mavericks on how they need to proceed with these final 20-plus games and into the playoffs. I expect a big-time performance out of the Mavericks because this is one of those games where the Mavs win, Kevin. 114-111. We're going to be raising eyebrows here. I think you need a decisive victory right out of the gate for the Mavericks at home against a team, again, the Spurs dead in the water. If your coach is saying, my team is really unprofessional, imagine what they actually did over the All-Star break. Think they're working on their jump shot?
Yeah, certainly not. Here's the angle, though, pardon me, that checks in. That 110.5, wow, hold on. Back to you. I got to clear
get
my throat.
Back get to it. Me. Yeah, get, throw it back to me at this point here. I won't dime you out and say, oh, boy, you're struggling over there at this point here. You know, I caught me off guard a little bit. It didn't because I am the NBA guy here on the network. But getting back to the Mavericks here, Doncic and Irvin, the one question I'm going to have in this game, Kevin, how much are we playing these two guys together and what do we anticipate? Because as I stated in this game, I need a referendum win. It's not a must-win situation here. And if Luka Doncic doesn't play well, Irving doesn't play well, and they win, maybe that's part of the picture here. But I expect good performances out of both of them tonight, knowing the stakes.
Yeah, with that said, the 110.5 on San Antonio, this team can't defend Dallas. I mean, they don't even get close. I know the Spurs are horrendous, but a game that's supposed to be a blowout anyway, the Mavericks team totals 125.5, right? So you might be letting up on the defensive side of it as is. You look at their last couple of games there heading into the break, right, with the new look and whatnot. 114, 133, 124, 118. I think that number is still too low, and I would expect San Antonio over their team total. The Celtics are in action tonight. The Jazz and the Thunder play with a light line as well. Late night Kings Blazers check in. A lot of good NBA action. I'm sure we'll keep talking about that over on Moneyline as well. We're live at 1 p.m. Eastern. Before you go anywhere, you make sure you listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the day right here for the early line. SiriusXM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. Had some fun breaking down a lot of interesting topics today overall. And also, as you see, look, you hear me getting see the in the background right here? Yeah, that's the Sports Grid there on my phone. So you can catch us on an app as well. But we broke down a lot of fun stuff today overall. College basketball, the NBA, which we're going to talk about just a little bit, MVP race there, but also a monster performance by Alabama yesterday with a lot of controversy swirling around. Now, we're going to get you set for the Sports Grid Day. Make sure you follow along coming up next with the Morning After Ben Stevens. But before, thank goodness the NBA is back in our lives. Listen up. Hey. NBA action. It is fantastic. And thank goodness it is back. Never missed you more than what I have over the past couple of days. And who would have thought coming after that All-Star performance where we're talking about maybe ending the All-Star game, how can we revamp All-Star Saturday night? It's good to see the NBA gives us a full tilt card tonight. And also, most times when you take a look at the All-Star break, we're mid-season, right? Woo, long, grueling second half of the season. Not the case here. Most teams play a maximum of 25 games. Some teams playing as little as 20 games, but a lot is going to be at stake. And look no further than the Western Conference, where everybody, it seems, outside the Denver Nuggets are lumped up between 2 and 10 in those seeds. With the Los Angeles Lakers coming back tonight, I guess, in a must-win scenario against the Golden State Warriors that we just talked about, where, how about this? The Golden State Warriors feel like they're in a must-win game tonight against those Los Angeles Lakers, but not enough time left in the season to go into the doldrums there. You can't, if you're trying to fight for a playoff spot, open up out of the All-Star break in a malaise there and go, I don't know, losers of your first 4 or 5 games back. You can't do it. The sprint is on in the NBA to crown a champion. Thank goodness you're back. Prop bets, side bets, and totals. Let's get after it and have some fun and see who gets crowned NBA champion by about June. That'll do it for the show today. Make sure you stay tuned. Coming up next, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Ben Stevens and The Morning After, right here on The Grid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.